Hi, everybody. This is Frank J. Welcome you to the first IMAO podcast, and thus the best podcast made to date. Now, you're probably asking,
what is a podcast? I never heard such a thing, Frank. Please explain this to me.
Well, I don't actually know what a podcast is. Some sort of audio file, I guess, meant for playing an iPod. So, you know, you take it with you where you go and listen to it when you want. I don't actually own an iPod. I think they're gay. So, hello to all our gay listeners. Enjoy the IMAO podcast.
This IMAO podcast is brought to you by ThoseShirts.com, your one-stop shop for high-quality, professionally silk-screened political and blog t-shirts. It's the only place to buy official IMAO gear. ThoseShirts.com. Effing the ineffable since 1991. And by new Pure Iams weight control cat food with ginkgo biloba. Its patented formula helps your cat lose weight, while the added ginkgo biloba is shown to improve intelligence in animals nearly as much as the leading placebo. Choose Pure Iams weight control with ginkgo biloba, the only cat food made especially for your fat, dumb cat. Frank Discourse, a roundtable discussion of whatever topics Frank J. and the bloggers at IMAO want to talk about, is brought to you in part by Skype. The bloggers at IMAO, and more than 29 million of their close personal friends, use Skype for voice chat on the internet. Try Skype today for free at www.skype.com. Skype. Free internet telephony that just works.
Hey, this is Frank J. once again deigning you worthy to hear my opinion. Today I'm going to talk about Newsweek and the crayon down the toilet story. Supposedly it caused riots in the Middle East, though that's not really the issue here because, I mean, they riot over everything. I mean, they probably rioted over Hello Kitty merchandise. I know I've been tempted to. Instead, what galls me is that Newsweek thinks it could publish some controversial story using unnamed sources. Now tell me, back in elementary school, could you even write a two-page report on Madagascar without giving some sources? Of course not. You needed a bibliography. And what happened if you didn't have one?
Now, Frankie, where did you get this information from?
I can't tell you to protect the identity of my sources.
Oh, you'd be in big trouble if you did that. Hey, Tony, we got a kid here who won't tell us where he found the major exports of Madagascar.
What's wrong with him? Doesn't he know he's going to lose points for that? I mean, we're talking like a letter grade here.
Oh, he's going to lose more than that. Grab him.
Hey, let go of me. I'm just a kid.
First, you're going to tell me where you found the major exports of Madagascar.
I'll die before I tell you that.
We'll see. Hopefully that loosened your smart mouth. Now, where'd you find out about the major exports of Madagascar?
I'll see you in hell before I tell you that.
You're going to tell me now.
Vito, what are you doing? You're crazy.
Crazy about education.
Oh, you bastard. You broke my finger.
You got 9 more of them, kid. Are you going to talk?
Okay, I'll talk.
Where'd you get your information on Madagascar?
Britannica. It was Encyclopedia Britannica.
Where in Encyclopedia Britannica?
It was Volume M.
Volume M? Of course it was under Volume M. What, are you trying to be a wise guy? What I want to know is what year edition and what page numbers.
I don't remember, but I can get for it. I swear. Just give me a little bit more time.
You better get me all that information typed and properly indented, or I'm going to take your ear. And that's just over some little report that's going to be read by one teacher and then thrown away. But if I get this straight, for major stories that are going to be read worldwide, we're just supposed to accept the veracity of unnamed sources? It's like they think they can write anything they want without any accountability, like they're some blogger or something. It's time that we demand that every major news story is accompanied by a bibliography. Second line indented. And if they don't want to comply, then it's time to smash windows, set cars on fire, and, if it comes to it, write a letter to their ombudsman. I'm Frank J. Now you know what I think.
so you can think it too.
Reviews are fun with Sarah Kay. A shiny gun is my topic today. Yeehaw!
Hi, I'm Sarah Kay, and podcasting is fun. Today I'm going to review the gun called Mr. Shiny. It's the prettiest of all the guns, which makes it the best one. It's stainless steel, just like my pots and pans.
So, sweetie, what type of gun is it?
A pretty one.
I mean, make and model.
Model? I'm a model. I model t-shirts.
Yes, I know, dear. Why don't you read what's on the sides of the gun?
Well, the shinier side says Springfield Armory, and the other side says Model 1911-A1 Cal 45. So it was made in California in the year 1945. It's pretty old and pretty shiny.
So what does the trigger break at?
I didn't break the trigger. I was very careful. I'm not dumb, you know.
Of course not, dear. So what was the size of the grouping in your test firing?
Well, I put them all in the middle. First, there was a bunch of little small holes, and then there was just one really big hole. But I noticed after I fired it a while, it wasn't as shiny, so I had to clean it, just like my pots and pans.
So how does Springfield's mil-spec 1911 compare to other brands of military spec 1911s?
The magazine's shiny, too. Well, that's all the time I have for today. I'll see y'all next week. Goodbye, y'all. Yeehaw!
Hey, Harvey, can you help me?
Sure, what's up, Space Monkey?
I need help writing an audio comedy bit.
What's it got to be about?
I don't care.
Can it be about porn?
No.
I thought you didn't care.
Well, I guess I do care. No porn.
No porn?
No porn. Something funny and short.
Funny and short. Funny and short. I got it. How about gay midgets?
Not that kind of funny and short. Something topical.
How about slutty cheerleaders? That was in the news recently.
Well, yeah, it was. But you just turned into something porny.
Yeah, well, you got me there. Okay, what about the Senate filibustering compromise?
Are you kidding me?
No, why?
If I didn't want it to be about porn, I didn't want it to be about slutty cheerleading or gay midgets, even though they are funny and short. What makes you think a perversion like political prostitution would be okay?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Good point.
Just forget it.
Forget what?
Perfect.
Dang it, Laura. I hate it here in China. Wish we hadn't come. You know, I heard these guys are communists.
Yes, I heard that too, honey. But this is our first visit to China, and we need their help handling North Korea.
Oh, you're right. That's fine, I guess. Well, but they better not do any crazy commie stuff on me. And I better get some egg rolls out of the deal.
All will be silent as we sing our ceremonial song in honor of the great Chairman Mao.
Well, do I have to listen to this song? I mean, Mao. That guy killed millions of peace-loving Chinese people hungry for freedom.
Well, I know, dear, but the song will be over soon.
Mao.
Hey, Laura, do you think that... Laura, what is it?
Must support communism. Must support communism.
Hi, it's Frank J. Once again, sharing my vast wealth of knowledge. Now, I have a question for you. What is the largest men-only country club? The answer, of course, is the moon. Since the dawn of time, man has stared at the moon, wondering if they could one day reach there, getting peace and quiet from nagging wives. On July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong became the first man to set foot on the moon. He then let out a peaceful sigh, knowing he was about a 250,000 miles away from,
"Have you emptied the dishwasher yet?"
By the second lunar mission, Knowing the coast was clear, astronaut Alan B. Shepard Jr. proceeded to play golf on the moon. With each mission, they set up more courses and brought more equipment. With mission Apollo 15, they even brought the moon buggy, a specially made golf cart for the moon. The astronauts had the greatest scam going.
Are you headed to the moon again?
Yes, dear. We need to, study the rocks on it.
Why are you bringing your golf bag?
Because, gotta go. Eventually, some women became wise to what was happening. In an attempt to ruin the perfect men-only country club, some radical feminists tried to devise their own mission to the moon. They had to give up, though, when they found out it would involve complex math, something women are physically incapable of doing. Thus, to this day, no woman has ever set foot on the moon. And, if golf aficionados can have their way, no woman ever will. So, if your daughter ever stares at the moon and asks if one day she'll be able to go there, you tell her no, she's not allowed. This is Frank J., having now just made you a little bit smarter.
Welcome to Fun Facts About the 50 States. I'm your host, Harvey, and week by week I'll be taking you on a tour around this great nation of ours, providing you with interesting, yet completely useless and probably untrue information about each of the 50 states. This week we're headed down south to Alabama, so let's get started. Alabama is a medium-sized state in the southern U.S. It's very similar to its neighboring state, Florida, except it doesn't have as many old people or alligators. The first Mardi Gras parade was held in Mobile, Alabama in 1911. It featured colorfully decorated, slow-moving cars driving down the streets amongst a crowd of stumbling, drunken pedestrians wearing funny costumes. This is the source of the Alabama state motto, Alabama, where every day is like Mardi Gras. The flag of Alabama is a big red X on a white field, which symbolizes the state's high illiteracy rate. Montgomery, Alabama was the capital and birthplace of the Confederate States of America, which earned Montgomery the nickname Birthplace of Bad Ideas. The Confederate flag was designed and first flown in Alabama in 1861 by the great-grandfather of Bo and Luke Duke. Alabama became the 22nd state on December 14, 1819. This posed a problem for celebrating the event, since most Alabama citizens couldn't count past 20, even with their shoes off, although certain of the more inbred sections of the state didn't seem to have as much of a problem with it. Alabama is actually a Creek Indian word meaning can't count past 20, even with the shoes off. Baseball player Hank Aaron was born in Mobile in 1934. He started playing for the Mobile Mudhens in 1950, but his career there was cut short when he was arrested for batting while black. The highest point in Alabama is Mount Cheaha at 2,405 feet. The second highest point is in Trashy Acres Trailer Park at the top of Mary Lou Clanton's hairdo. Governor George C. Wallace served 4 terms in office and spent 2 of them shooing colored people away from his drinking fountain. Hitler's typewriter is on display at the Hall of History in Bessemer, Alabama. It's unknown whether it still works, since no one in Alabama can correctly spell the sentence, "The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog." Alabama's official state mineral is automotive rust. Alabama's state insect is the monarch butterfly, or, as natives refer to it, "that pretty little bug what's flapping around over there." Alabama's state bird is the pecan pie. Long story, something to do with a gallon of moonshine and Hitler's typewriter. In 1864, at the Battle of Mobile Bay, Union Admiral David Farragut issued his famous command, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead." Also uttered that day was the less famous Confederate reply, "Holy crap, they're coming right for us! Run!" Despite having only 50 miles of coastline, Alabama's beaches are a popular tourist destination. Be sure to visit during early March to witness the Feed Yankee Tourists to the Sharks Festival. The town of Enterprise, Alabama houses the Boll Weevil Monument, which celebrates the role this destructive insect played in encouraging farmers to grow crops other than cotton. But despite all their contributions, Alabama still doesn't allow boll weevils to either vote or ride in the front of the bus. Well, that wraps up the Alabama edition of Fun Facts About the 50 States. Next week, we'll be heading up north to take a look at Alaska. Thank you.
Hi, this is the great Frank J. Today on Frank Discourse, we discuss Dick Dare in Their Underwear, the new Star Battle movie, and the crayons down the toilet. Basking in my digital glory today is Harvey, 6-foot imaginary rabbit who taunts Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy died about 8 years ago. That's why I'm taunting you now.
And Space Monkey, a random hayseed attracting by the glowing light of the computer monitor.
It's like a TV connected to a typewriter.
And Kevin, a.k.a. Cadet Happy, guy who photoshops us all to make us look gay, and thus we all hate him.
That's right.
Right-wing Duck is unable to join us today because he's Mexican. Now, first topic. Dictators in their underwear. Recently, photos were released of Saddam Hussein in his underwear. Should we be parading dictators around their underwear? Kevin!
No comment.
Wrong!
See, I'm only after McLaughlin Group because I used to watch that all the time.
What do you think, Harvey?
Look, Saddam got to wear men's underwear and they weren't even on his head. I don't know what everyone's complaining about. I'm fine with this.
Kevin, you like Saddam. What do you think?
Well, I thought he pulled it off. It was sexy but dignified. There was a little bit of air of mystery about him.
Space Monkey, should we have put Hitler in his underwear?
I was sort of disappointed that there's not like a series of tyrants in their underwear. Like, why not Stalin and Mao and Castro? Why can't we see all of them?
Exactly. We should have all dictators paraded in their underwear. They should be, their mothers should be warning them, remember to wear clean underwear today because maybe your oppression will be overthrown.
You never know when you'll be dug out of the spider hole.
Yeah.
Well, they say more photos are coming out, so we might have enough for a whole Saddam in his underwear calendar. Would you?
Give the people what they have no desire absolutely
great.
To see.
Hey, Frank, I got a question now. If he's a military dictator, is it okay for him to go commando?
Remind you, Harvey was in the Navy. He likes to wear a sailor suit, make your own. Anyways.
Yeah.
So how many of you are gay, by the way?
Moving on. The new Star Battle movie, or Episode 3 Star Wars something or other with Sith and things. Found it predictable.
Well, yeah.
You just knew that guy was going to turn evil. Had no surprises in it. Quite boring. Very wooden acting. Who do you think was the best actor in the Star Wars movie?
Space Monkey.
Definitely R2.
What about the scar in Anakin's eye? How did he get that? A contact lens accident?
It's one of those things Harvey. You have to read the book.
Oh, really?
Well, he was staring in the front end of his lightsaber and his thumb hit the switch.
Is this thing on? Yeah.
Yeah, those things seem dangerous. I see him jumping around with those. I'm just like, hey, watch it. You know, where you point those things. That's like.
So how come they can fix amputations, but they can't cover scars?
I don't know. Scars look cool.
Oh, chicks dig scars, so keep them. Yeah.
They also dig robotic hands. I think that turned Padme on. She didn't marry him until he got the robotic hand, if you remember.
You know, we could go somewhere with that, but let's not.
Okay. I think we've beaten this topic to death. Okay, moving on to the next topic. Crayons down the toilet. Newsweek reported that crayons were being flushed down the toilet. Riots everywhere. Then they backed down on the story. But then there's FBI report saying crayons were being flushed down the toilet.
Have anyone ever seen a Quran? I never seen a Quran or met anyone seen a Quran.
There's some Korans that run a restaurant in town.
Didn't Quran fight Godzilla? Anyways, Quran, flush down the toilet. Did it actually happen? Was Newsweek making it up? Who is our unnamed source? Kevin!
Yes. I lost track of what you were saying there.
Thanks for wasting our bandwidth. Harvey!
Yes, I'm sorry, what was the question? I was
wrong! Space Monkey!
Koreans should not be flushed down toilets. Except North Korean.
So that Kim Jong-il, he's got a poofy head. He could use that to clean under the rim.
Yeah. Correct answer is, since I'm Christian and I have no respect for other religions and think they all lead to hell, then yes, I think we should flush the Quran and we should make a public showing of it. You know, we have to put a tough stance to Muslims. We flush Korans. That's what we do here in America.
Because everyone here is a Christian. Even the atheists, like Harvey, you're an atheist, but you're a Christian atheist, am I correct? You deny the existence of Jesus, not Muhammad.
Yeah, Muhammad lived. Jesus, God, no.
See? He's a Christian atheist, even. And we're a Christian nation. And the only way to cause calm in the Middle East is to flush all the Korans down the toilet. Then they can't read them and misinterpret them for violence. Do you think this will offend anyone?
Face Monkey.
This recording? Definitely.
Harvey!
Oh, hell no. No one's going to listen to it. Who's going to get offended?
Kevin!
Your opinion! Kevin!
Yes?
What will Care think?
He's watching TV.
Sorry, I kind of drifted off in that slow part.
Did I miss anything?
Thanks for listening to Frank Discourse. We'll be back next week with other subjects.
This concludes the first IMEO podcast. If you have any feedback, comments, or questions, just send an email to podcast@imao.us. Remember to include your name and town, and, as some guy on TV says, keep it pithy. Then maybe next week you'll hear your email on the air. That email again is podcast@imao.us. That's podcast@, M as in marsupial, A as in anisotropic, O as in, well, not like you can confuse O with anything, .us. Hey, look, we already have an email. Jeff from St. Louis, Missouri writes, "Wow, I thought IMAO really went downhill when it became a group blog, but now that you've done a podcast, I think it's actually given me cancer." Thanks for the feedback, Jeff. Send your email to us, and maybe we'll read it on the next podcast. Until then,
be on the ball, running.